This episode of The Awesome Hour is brought to you by Concept Beard Co. Put it in your beard. Beard oils and bombs, handcrafted for the discerning gentleman. Go to conceptbeard.com and use awesome at checkout and save yourself 10%.
Hey, on today's podcast, we're joined by Randy King, multifaceted person of stuff and things. He fights, he sells, he teaches, he's a content creator. I haven't hit the drop.
Welcome to the Awesome Hour.
I am the smartest man alive!
This is the source for all the things you didn't or even want to know, including all our bad life choices and mistakes, so you can stay awesome.
The Awesome Hour.
Hey, what's up? I'm Alec.
Jim Pell, Ivan.
Dewey Dunn, Jason.
And today we're joined by none other than Randy King. Randy, say what's up.
What's up, internets? How you doing?
But they can't answer you.
They can't.
In the comments below.
This is live. Say hi in the comments below.
Hashtag Pale Alec.
And I already see Brooks. Why they make fun of this guy. That was so fast.
Right? Like, they just on me like beans on toast. How's it going, Randy?
Going really well. How are you, man?
Good. You found the place okay.
Oh, yeah. Google Maps, right?
Perfect.
Who can't find stuff on Google Maps anymore? Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so was that your caddy outside?
No.
Not at all, right?
I wish. No.
Anyways.
I thought you had a new car for a second. Like, Alex, you're early. Maybe
nope.
A new car finally, 15 years
Matrix.
Later.
Hey, Randy, I can't take credit for this coffee. The guy in front of me at the drive-thru bought it for us.
Oh, so did he really?
Cheers to
did,
that
Did you
guy.
Pay it forward as well?
There was no one behind me, so I couldn't.
Oh, bonus.
Fair enough. Just nice. Leave, in that case, that's do you perfect. Just leave money behind?
No, you no. say fuck it and you leave.
I've never once paid it forward.
No?
No,
me
I'm like,
neither.
Thanks.
Me neither. Even at Starbucks, I'm like, thanks.
That's when you drive fast. I had someone buy my Blizzards at Dairy Queen once. I think I talked about
this. I thought
someone
buy
that's
my Blizzards.
That's crazy. Legit right there.
That is legit. Yeah.
That's baller. Like, that, okay, we get it. You have money, okay? Yeah. Thank you.
Got that Blizzard money.
Right? No shit. So, Randy.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You're well? You're I'm just well. Back from Cold Lake, I saw.
Yeah, woo, big, exciting Cold Lake. Yeah.
It's not a bad drive. It's a long drive,
it
though.
It is, yeah.
They got a pretty cool skate park. One of the features in Cold Lake, because it's an Air Force base right there.
Right, yeah.
It's a plane, so like you can like skate the wing.
Oh, really?
And they have like a rails on like a runway and stuff.
Where's
it's very
that video?
Cool.
Is it an actual plane wing?
No, that would be even cooler. No, it's like it's a bank that looks like a plane wing.
That's pretty cool. That makes sense.
It makes sense, yeah. Anyways, so Randy, you're a very interesting individual, and I want to jump right into this. First of all, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's get into it.
Yep.
You're a 2-time black belt, 4th degree.
Yeah.
Modern Arnie. I know nothing about fighting, so this is fun for me because
both of the things I'm a black belt in also know nothing about fighting, so it's kind of a sketchy thing. So there's traditional martial arts,
yeah,
which I have the black belt in,
like Bruce Lee type shit.
Bruce Lee would be I would consider not traditional, but sure.
Did you watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I have not. I want to because I'm obviously on all the martial arts pages.
Yeah, we need
and
to know.
The outrage is insane.
Brad Pitt, should he have really been able to kick his ass? But we'll get back to that.
Bruce
anyways.
Lee was like 130 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say.
Bruce Lee being tough. Yeah. He was movie tough.
Brad Pitt kicked him into a car door and went, what? It was a great scene.
If Brad Pitt's character was a 230-pound stuntman, like, and Bruce Lee didn't see it coming, of course he's going to take that shot. But yeah, I have a black belt in Taekwondo. I can't kick over my head anymore, so I don't count that. And I have a black belt in Modern Arnis, which is a Filipino martial arts.
Can you lose a black belt?
You should.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, you should lose your police badge if you can't keep up with the physical.
Correct. Yeah, like, if you can't defend your belt, you lose the belt.
Like, what, hypothetically, like, yo... Taekwondo fucking black belt's like, fuck you, I'm taking you out.
Yeah.
And he's like, he just said it, I can't kick over my head. Yeah. He gets kicked in the head.
If a Taekwondo guy's not taking out a lot of people, no offense,
Taekwondo guys.
But if he was like, let's have a kickoff, I'm losing.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Like, unless it's leg kicks and all day.
They just slowly start raising.
Yeah, Taekwondo's just all leg kicks.
Yeah. Well, high leg kicks. Yeah, head kicks.
It's all head kicks.
Yeah,
you can't punch
more.
In the head, but you can kick in the head.
Correct. You can stop before you touch the person and get 3 points. It actually
probably
went
like Taekwondo when I was a kid. I trained there for like 5 years in Taekwondo.
See, the extent of my fighting is watching WWE.
Sure.
And having a big mouth and having to like...
Is that why every time you fight you're in your underwear?
Yeah, and it's freeing. It's freeing.
Modern Arnese is a Filipino-based martial art.
Okay.
And so it comes from the Philippines.
Yeah.
I trained there for 2 months.
Okay.
I was just living there and training the entire time in Manila, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And so that's where a lot of my stuff comes from. But what I do now primarily is self-defense. And there's a difference between self-defense and martial arts.
Yep.
And what, I know...
The self-defense you do, you say it's reality-based self-defense.
Sure, reality and evidence-based, right? Okay. So let's look at it this way. Let's say, let's use Taekwondo as an example, because I do have a black belt in it. So Taekwondo was developed in Korea at a very arguable time. Everybody has different dates. Doesn't matter. Actually, let's use karate as a better example. Karate's been around forever.
Okay.
Okay, it's in Okinawa. It was used for a long time. The things that were acceptable to do to people in the 1600s are not things that are acceptable to do now. They didn't have British common law. They didn't have, right? So what I teach is an evolution of that. So the mechanics are the same. Kicking is kicking, punching is punching.
Yeah.
But what I teach is I hate the word, but there's no better word for it, holistic view of self-defense.
So, oh, you're into that hippie kung fu shit.
Sure, why not? Yeah.
Stop it.
Yes, my chakras.
Stop it.
And then I activate my third eye.
There you go.
You're like going to run away.
You're the ancient one in Doctor Strange. You're just knocking the Hulk out of his...
Which would be sweet. That'd be
right?
sweet.
That'd be so
that's
sick.
All I would ever do.
Just like out of conscious. Anyways, sorry.
No, that's fine. So what I do now is I'm like 2.0.
Okay.
Right? So we take the stuff that's out there, because obviously right now the big flavor is MMA.
Yeah.
And MMA is great, but there's some training flaws in it. Not that MMA is wrong, and there's a lot of people in my industry that say that MMA guys can't fight. That's a lie. But what they don't take into account is the legal and ethical ramifications.
Yeah.
They don't take into account aftermath. They don't take into account weapons, multiple opponents, pack tactics. That's what I add. That's what I, that's my add to the stew.
The street to it.
Yeah. And again, I'm back and back forth here. I hate when people say the street, because that's like a no, like, well, that wouldn't work on the street. Yeah. Like, honestly, a guillotine choke works on the street. Right? Tapping somebody out works on the street.
100% it will.
Right?
I've done it. But look at Kimbo Slice. Kimbo Slice was kicking ass in the hood, but then he couldn't hold it down in the ring.
Well, and that's true. And
I'm going to do a lot of this, I feel.
Well, he was a striker, right?
Yes.
That's all he had was striking.
Well, and exactly. And there's a definitely the MMA rules, particularly UFC's universal rules, do slant towards grappling-based arts.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
And there's only two guys in UFC right now that aren't wrestlers that have the title.
Wrestling is just the best. And there's anybody argues that wrestling isn't awesome is dumb.
Yeah.
So what I add then is... If you have kids, right?
Yep.
Everybody almost over here said they had kids. You're not going to be in a gym 6 hours a day training for your next fight. You're just not. So what I do is I take the people, like, they're not going to be as good as an MMA fighter. That's ridiculous to state that.
Yeah.
But they will have enough awareness and skill set to deal with most people. And if we look at the stats, pro MMA fighters aren't mugging people.
No. Right? Unless you're Conor McDavid and you turn
Conor McGregor.
That's
my whiskey.
Did he knock that guy? I just heard something like that.
He didn't. He sucker punched him, man.
Totally
the guy took it.
Yeah.
He just stood there.
Oh, of course.
He's old,
Conor McGregor's only 140 pounds.
You punched a pickle.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, before we get too far ahead, because we're trying to talk in KPC type stuff there.
Sure.
I want your origin story.
Okay.
You've been practicing since you were 10. This isn't something you picked up because you were like, I got to lose some LBs.
Yeah.
This is something you've always had a love for.
Yes.
So how does 10-year-old Randy evolve into whatever, evolve into KPC, evolve into a world traveler, author, content creator? Let's travel the line. Let's walk the line.
Sure. So kind of funny, actually, it did start with me losing LBs. So I was, I'm not super fit now, but I was a very fat kid. Mm-hmm. Like, I graduated high school at 305 pounds. Like, and not like,
you had high school?
You had some mass.
Emmy Lizard.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to the Voyagers.
Yeah, woo, what's up, Voyagers? So I was a big kid, and I wish I had a cooler origin story, but I like honesty in my approach. So I joined martial arts because the Power Rangers. I wanted to kick people,
dude,
and nobody picked
fair.
On the Power Rangers.
Alec is with you this whole way,
dude. At the Edmonton Comic Convention, Jason's
the Green
be
Dragon.
There.
Right?
Green's
yeah,
gonna be there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What the fuck is his
How
name?
How much was the autograph?
Jason Frank.
It's happening in September. But damn right, I'll be there.
I know you'll be there.
I'll be there.
Why wouldn't you be?
Because Neville from Harry Potter is going to be there too.
Yeah, my we'll be in Scotland. My daughter's sad, but.
Anyways, back to the origin
press
story.
Press passes what?
So,
if you're listening, Comic-Con.
So, yeah, I get a little sponsorship from
Comic-Con.
That's perfect. Free advertising. So, did Taekwondo for a long time. Got black belts, won trophies, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Number one in Canada, which isn't a big deal. 35 million people. Not a lot of people do Taekwondo, but I had some rankings.
Yeah. That was a low-key humble brag, and I respect
it. Thank you.
Own it.
No, because it falls
own
apart.
It.
And so it was actually a false sense of security, which kind of got me what I'm doing now.
Oh.
So it was honestly garbage, but I didn't think it was that. And there's something called the fighter's mentality, which is there's no – at no point is there any benefit to me coaching a fighter to think he's going to lose.
Okay, no.
Right? There's just no benefit to that.
Doesn't make any sense.
Right. But realistically speaking, like, you're going to lose. Four people jump you. Right. Like, there's just no option. So, anyways, moving forward, had this black belt. Wasn't particularly good at school, even though it's hilarious because I'm like the king of the research now.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really a big school guy.
Like, okay.
I like going there for friends. And then
show up at lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
See you after school.
The mall was right across the street, right?
Bare minimum Londonderry. That's why you had to learn to fight.
Exactly. And legit, Lizert was definitely some of my my proving ground for sure. So, anyways, I moved forward and jumped out of high school, did the bare minimums to get out through, right? Like Science 24, whatever you have to do to
shop
get out.
Class.
I just did the checklist, like, okay, make sure I get the credits and peace out.
Yeah.
And then I didn't want to work in the oil field, so I didn't have a lot of options.
No.
So I worked at Wendy's for 3 days. Day one was training.
Northgate Wendy's?
Yes, actually. Northgate Wendy's, yes. Amazing.
Your whole life's a fight.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So, long story short, I wasn't in for fast food, and so I opened up a paper, because this I'm old, and this is pre-internet. Or pre, like, internet phone.
Real Google.
Right? Yeah. And some guy got stabbed at a bar, the Purple Onion.
Yeah.
Six times.
P.O.
Yeah. In that place.
And so, right? Who hasn't? So, you haven't, really? That's crazy.
Well, yeah, how old are you? I'm 32.
Yeah, you missed it.
Yeah.
I could have gone.
It was a great place.
I just didn't go out.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, got the job there. So, it was a place that I drank at. Found out somebody got hurt.
Yeah.
And, was like, well, you have a job opening, and I don't want to flip burgers, and I'm this national ranked champion martial artist, so obviously I'm invincible, and nobody can stop me, right?
I am the bouncer.
And I'm 18.
Fucking Patrick Swayze from Road
Rules. I was the cooler, exactly. So my first fight, a fat old man beat me up, like, really bad. And
just checked your ego right
just
there.
Instantaneously checked my ego.
Oh, you want a taekwondo? We can street fight.
Yeah, I started jumping around, like, sparring, and the guy's like, this is fat.
Kicked you in the nuts.
This fat old biker, like, just leather jacket. Like, he's just hilarious.
TV.
Yeah, a TV. Like, it's I couldn't have created a better picture. So I went to punch the guy.
Yeah.
And I did that stop tip. So I stopped right in front of his face. 3 points.
Yeah.
He wasn't counting points.
No.
Nope.
And he decided to fuck me up, and he beat the shit out of me. And I was 18 years old. None of the other doormen helped me because I walked in with my I'm Batman attitude. Don't fuck
your
with me.
Ego, yeah.
Right? And also, I was the youngest at the time. Everybody else was like 24, 25.
Ah, let them learn.
Yeah, exactly what happened.
This was life lessons.
This was life lessons. So the first 3 months were rough. And I learned at that point that what they're teaching in martial arts gyms at the time, because this is kind of pre-still MMA, just started coming up here.
Yeah.
Before they started mixing stuff together, it was lies.
Yeah.
And the people, like, there's a toxicity in martial arts, which is, if you're not good at team sports, I can make you the god of war in this fake thing where you don't have to pressure test anything, right?
Yeah, Cobra Kai.
So, so you get really, like, toxic personalities doing this, and there's no accreditation. There's no, you said your daughters take BJJ.
Yeah.
BJJ is one of the only martial arts where there's, like, an actual, like, if you have a fake black belt, they'll come find you.
Oh, yeah.
But almost every other art, that does not exist.
No.
And so you can lie. Like, you could open a gym tomorrow and be like, oh, Tiger Kung Fu, I learned in the mountains, and nobody's going to fact check that shit, right?
I do know Tiger Kung Fu. It's funny you brought that up, because I wanted to talk to you about a business venture after the podcast.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
But we'll get to that when we're not rolling.
He wears the whole outfit and everything.
Yeah. I look like Simba.
So moving forward then.
That's a lion. All right, moving on.
I just have a picture of you in a Simba costume, and it's adorable.
Yeah, that's every Friday.
That's how I get you.
A fucking onesie, one of those nighttime onesies.
Okay, we're talking to Randy. We're not making fun of Alec tonight. So, this is a Randy
damn
podcast.
Okay, back to Randy.
Sure. So, anyways, I worked this. I started getting the hang of it. Started realizing, like, there's some differences in what I was learning. Found
the other bouncers finally let you eat at their table? They're like, all right.
About 3 months in, I was drinking in the bar, and a fight started, and I just started grabbing guys by the hair and elbowing them. They're like, that's what we're talking about. And so they, like, finally, I got to eat with
Randy.
Them. But it was like a frosh week for 3 months, and it was
that's nuts.
Like, they would, if a fight happened, they would just turn their backs.
Oh,
and I'd be
fuck.
Like, okay, and I just learned.
I guess you.
I didn't want to work at Wendy's, and I didn't want to work in the oil field.
Yeah.
Also, so many hot girls, like, worth it, right?
Oh,
so,
purple, white.
Look at this guy's so strong.
Exactly. Oh, he's fighting everybody. Oh, he's hurt. I'll help him. There was no way I was leaving that job.
Fair enough.
I would still do it now if I was age appropriate. It wasn't loserish to be a doorman at.
Who's this creep?
Exactly.
So, I'm going to need to take a personal picture of your ID.
So doing the thing, one night I'm working in a bar. It's Wednesday, same bar, Purple.
Yeah.
I did lots of hours there. I was head of security at the time, and I had what's called, I just had like a normalcy bias. Like, everybody complied with me. I've been there for so long. Everybody knew who I was. So if I asked you to leave, everybody's like, Randy's here. We're not going to fuck with Randy, right?
Because
I turned the The martial arts are important if you know how to fight.
Yeah.
Right? So I knew how to fight now, and I can now layer in the martial arts stuff. So I became good.
You're becoming the onion that will blossom
exactly,
into the bud.
Exactly, into something, right? Yeah. Into something a lot more formidable than I was when I just had point fighting.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, 2 years in, guy comes to the door, decides he wants to come in. It's a Wednesday, bar's dead. We had just, so how old I am again, we've just implemented mandatory ID.
Oh, okay.
So we did not have mandatory ID before this. It was the first week we're doing mandatory ID.
Okay.
Guy walks in, wants to come in. I say no, he doesn't have ID. And I said,
this is a Wednesday night. This is a Wednesday night. Like a rowdy, you're not even mentally prepared for
I'm
the crowd.
I'm a PO regular motherfucker.
And yeah. He was, I'd never seen him, but yeah, he really wanted to get in there. And I make the joke, but if you're a force professional, so military, police, criminal, whatever, your job is like 90% bored out of your fucking mind, 10% holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, right? Yeah. The other 90% of my job I felt was flirting with waitresses, and there was a new waitress that night, so I was so busy flirting, I wasn't paying attention to what was happening.
Yeah.
Guy walked up. I said, beat it. He was small, maybe 165 pounds, maybe 5'8", 5'9". Doesn't leave.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you got to go, whatever. And I ignored him. So he started punching me, pulled a knife, tried to stab me in the neck. I find out later in the security camera. I didn't see the knife. Just none of this happened. Get stabbed, go to the hospital, find out I was stabbed. Huge, huge deal.
Was it one of those things, because we talked to somebody, that you didn't know you were stabbed yet?
Didn't know. I went to the hospital because my ear was ripped.
Yeah.
Because he grabbed my ear when I threw him at the ground.
Okay.
And my ear almost came off.
Gross. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and so, but I could see that. So
he almost Van Gogh'd you.
It was crazy. Luckily, they have like crazy surgical glue. So anyways, ear stayed. Leg is small scar. I can barely fucking see the thing now.
Yeah.
But anyways, what I learned from that was, again, what they're teaching is bullshit, right? Yeah. What they're teaching is... It's a duel. You agree, I agree. We have 6 to 8 weeks to do this thing, right? You cut weight, I cut weight. Let's do this.
And it's a dance.
Yeah. And this is just not organically how fights happen.
No.
Right? I have a friend of mine. I will not use his name because I'm sure he's pretty famous now. He fought in the UFC.
Yeah.
A while ago. Nobody knew. Not Tanner Bowser.
Okay.
So, but as we're looking at this, he bounced with me for a while. And he has more titles than a bookstore.
Okay.
But he got his ass kicked in a street fight.
Really?
Just because he wasn't prepped for what was going on. I didn't have the time to mentally prep for it. Now, I'm not saying an MMA guy won't do good in a street fight. They totally will.
Yeah.
He just didn't at this time.
Okay.
So then I hit about a year-long depression.
Because you were just, he rattled you.
Well, because I thought I was invincible. Yeah. Then I was sitting at the big kid's table. Now all of a sudden some crackhead almost killed me. Like 165-pound dude. And I was taking knife arts and I was like, I thought I made the adjustment 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I thought the new stuff I was taking was the real shit. Mm. And then I got tricked fucking again, right? So for a year, I didn't train at all.
Really?
I did nothing, yeah. And so I read a book by a guy named Rory Miller, who is my mentor. I'm very lucky to have met him.
Shout out to Rory. Did the foreword on your book, but we'll get to that a little bit later.
Research on this guy.
I do my shit.
Mr. Research.
And Rory Miller's kind of a big deal.
Rory Miller's a huge deal.
We'll talk about that.
And I'm very lucky that he's taking me under his wing. That's the only reason I get to do what I do.
Yeah.
So I read Rory's book, and he talked about something called freezing, which I've expanded the model in my new upcoming book. But that got me out of the depression because nobody talked about that shit. Nobody talked that you're going to freeze, you're going to panic. Nobody talks about shit
fight
yourself
or flight.
In the right. Yeah. Nobody talks about that because
how do you react?
It's a hero thing. And so if grandpa said he went to war and he was valiant and killed the Nazis or whatever war he was in, and then you go to war and you're like, I think I pissed myself. Oh my God, I'm weaker than grandpa. I must be lesser than.
Grandpa just didn't tell you.
Grandpa just didn't tell you he pissed himself, right?
Yeah, and then shot 17 people.
Exactly. So
one might have been on his own team, but whatever.
Who knows?
Yeah. Whatever.
So that's kind of my origin story. Is it started off with just wanting to be a Power Ranger.
Yep.
I'm a huge Batman nerd. I love all that.
If you could be a Power Ranger, what colored Power Ranger would you be?
So 100%, pink. I would have been the Red Ranger originally when it first started Mighty Morphin style. And
Fair enough.
Red was in charge, but White Ranger. I know how racist that sounds, but I would be the White Ranger for sure.
Tiger.
Yeah,
the
Tiger.
No, I get it. Yeah, I have a feel
he was the best.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that brought me to here. So now I get to teach internationally and I work with different groups. And so my flavor is a little different. It's soft skills over hard skills. So what I mean by that is I firmly believe education is accessible now.
Yeah.
Techniques take time.
Yeah, okay. Muscle memory takes time.
Right? So if I can teach you what to look for, body language cues, the commonalities in patterns of violence, what people are looking for, you can avoid 90% of it.
So you're not just teaching self-defense. You're teaching self-defense. I'm pointing to my head, people.
Yeah.
Okay, so KPC.
Mental awareness, motherfucker.
Yeah, and I think to me that is self-defense. So martial arts is martial, like Mars, God of War. Martial arts is the art of fighting.
Yeah.
Self-defense is the art. Washing your hands is self-defense. having a good lawyer is self-defense.
Fair enough.
Shouts to my lawyer.
Right? But seriously, taking care of yourself is self-defense. Like, making sure you eat healthy is self-defense.
Yeah.
Right? That's how I look at it. It's more of a holistic approach than just, like, kicking and punching.
I get the holistic part now. Yeah. That makes sense. You know, it's not so hippy-dippy. Yeah. It's not like,
well,
we're going to
just hit people, because what if they die?
We had that happen at the PO. A one-hit kill happen. Guy, do you want to hear this? Obviously, you want to hear
this. Of course. That's why you're on the podcast.
No, we don't want to hear cool stories. Please talk more about your nerd stuff. So
let's talk literature.
I was working at the Purple Onion. This is again.
So how long were you at the Purple Onion?
So I bounced for 11 years. Yeah. I ran a security company for 4 years.
Yeah.
I did VIP security for 2 years.
Any cool stories on the VIP aspect?
I
before
do.
We get back to the
I have
PO?
A crazy Dennis Rodman story I will tell in the
Holy
show if you want to hear it.
Yes, I want to hear it. But anyways, okay, there's so much going on.
Does it involve Korea?
No.
Okay.
There was a joke, though. I'll tell you the joke after I tell the story. Because okay. There's a lot going on right
okay.
now.
Okay. We're going
the
back to the
kicking in.
We're going back to the PO.
Yes.
And then we'll.
The one hit
one
wonder.
Hit, one hit kill. So, King Hit, it's called in Australia. I like that. But a one hit kill is what it's called here, Soft Skull. In Canada, according to C26 or C46, I don't remember off the top of my head right now, you have to deal with the body you're dealt with. Right? So if you attack me and you have like a congenitive heart disease,
yeah.
Like that's, I can't know that.
No.
But if I hit you and you die, that's kind of on me still.
Yeah.
Because arguably they don't want us to fight.
Right.
So guys in the bar's packed. I've been to PO. That place was like a 300 capacity and it's shut down and none of this is discoverable. So we went over that all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
500 sure. people slam that place yep. full of people.
The statute of limitations has passed.
Yes, I believe. If not, whatever. I'll pay the fine. Sure.
Yeah.
So the guys walked around. A guy grabbed a girl's ass.
Yeah.
The boyfriend, I think rightfully so, just popped him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't touch her. Just like a very status-based, very like, ooh, that's my watering hole, back off.
Yeah.
Wasn't aggressive, wasn't malice.
I like the, ugh.
Yeah.
It's very proud. Yeah,
right?
Okay, yeah.
So we hit him. Guy fell down, and he hit the ground, and he just went limp. We're like, oh, you knocked him out, son. We're all freaking out, right?
Yeah.
This is like, again, before a lot of sensitivity training. So we're like, we're laughing at
which
this
I've
guy.
Which I've never been through.
We're like laughing. We're pointing this guy. This guy's not getting up. So we're like, all right, guys, being a pussy, let's drag him outside. So we move a dead body. So we drag this guy outside. We slump him on the side of the building.
And we
wait for the ambulance to come.
Yeah.
So what happened was the guy hit him and he cracked. And so there's something called secondary impact. And this is why when it comes to fight sports, it's so important. And hockey and helmets are important because
concussions.
Primary impact doesn't do that much.
Yeah.
Like your brain only moves so much. So there's two types of knockouts. There's an acceleration knockout and a deceleration knockout.
Okay.
Acceleration knocks. I punch you, your head snaps, I move your brain so fast you shut down.
Yeah.
Very hard to do. That's why it's a sport. Deceleration is like a car accident. You're in transit and you stop.
Okay.
That's way worse.
So that's like a whiplash.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So he hit the guy. First impact, turned his lights off.
Yeah.
Didn't hurt. Didn't kill him.
No.
But because he had no awareness, as he fell, the stopping from the fall, the secondary impact.
So it didn't even crack the, or crack the
yeah,
skull?
Yeah, crack skull and killed him, yeah. So guy served 5 years.
That's fucking
manslaughter.
Nuts.
Manslaughter. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Which is a charge I'm willing to take.
Yeah, well, sure. And some people do. And also, if he would have, he didn't articulate well. And that's something that I teach as well, is like how to explain why he did what he did.
Yeah.
Right, so the example I like to use in my classes is, and it's a dark example, listener, so heads up.
Yeah, they're listening to the asthma. They're not
okay.
getting.
So if there's a baby in front of me.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, this has got really dark.
Yeah,
hold
super
on.
Dark.
Okay.
You have a weapon. You have a firearm. You know how to use it. You're willing to use it.
I don't want
to
hurt a baby.
You're not killing the baby. Let me give you the whole premise. So if I have a hammer and I'm about to smash that baby in the head and kill it, can you shoot me? Not a trick question.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You can defensive third person.
I'm pretty sure he was asking me, Jay.
Sorry.
Yes. Oh, now
I'm going to shoot you anyway.
But you're correct. So you could shoot me, yes.
Yeah.
Arguably, if I'm going to kill a baby with a hammer, am I an asshole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you say to the police, I shot him because he's an asshole, while true, is not a great way to articulate why you did what you did.
Yeah.
No.
That's what the guy did. He articulated incorrectly.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah.
The facts were much different.
Yeah.
But he articulated the emotional aspect of it, not the actual fact.
Well, you got to think of the stress piled on this dude now, because he didn't go out He didn't go out that night to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Now he's a killer.
We classify violence into three categories, status-based, social, and predatory violence.
Yeah.
This is what we call status-based. This is like usually male-to-male.
Yeah.
This is the epitome of status-based violence, right? He was just giving that guy an educational beat down. Like, don't fucking touch my girl, right?
This was the biker showing you that, I'm going to drink at the PO tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Most people in status-based, they're just good people having a bad day. Like, a lot of people don't jump in their car and like, oh, can't wait to road rage later. Gonna be sick, right? I'm sure people do.
Kyle.
You seen Ivan drive?
But most people don't intend to do that, right?
No.
And so that's where a lot of the stuff comes from.
Yeah, okay.
So that's a one-hit kill.
Oh, fair enough. I didn't even know that happened at Edmonton.
Yeah, so Edmonton's really bad for reporting stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know if it's by design, because it keeps people a little more chill. Yeah, but yeah.
Just like they don't report the suicides.
Oh, not even close. That's a huge issue. When I was in the club scene, like, primarily, like, it was my full-time job.
Yeah.
The stuff that we saw slash did slash got away with. It was nuts.
Fair enough.
That's why there's body cams now.
Yes, and body cams are great. I think they're fantastic.
They're fantastic.
Yeah. So you transition from the PO to the VIP company. So now you want to do your own thing.
Yeah.
You don't want to be working under an umbrella. You want to be the man. So how do you do that? How do you build a VIP?
How do you build anything, right?
I guess.
I was working at the bar, and I was working with a friend of mine. His name is Minor Van Dusen. He had a company called H&G Hired Goons, like from The Simpsons, where he comes to the door. Hired Goons, right? Yeah. That's what he named it. And he was transitioning out of it.
Okay.
He's like, I don't really want to do this anymore. I was kind of running lead, so I decided to take over, and then I just kind of built it. I actually got really lucky.
So you kind of took over the books, so you had like some clientele already lined up?
Kind of. I took over the people, because there wasn't really books. It was just like, we get paid in cash, give us a couple beers, right?
Yeah.
And so then I started doing VIP security, or not VIP, event security for all the rodeos in Alberta. It was pretty crazy.
And no, then, keep going. Okay, I'm just.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So we did lots of the stuff for the rodeos.
Yeah.
And then there was a bodyguard course that happened here in Edmonton.
Okay.
So I took the course, became VIP certified. Then we worked, if you all remember, the tent party for the Indy in Edmonton.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember that big tent on Jasper Ave?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I did a lot of my VIP work there. So I worked with Vern Troyer, Dennis Rodman. Rest in peace. And I worked with Kevin Federline, unfortunately.
Oh, weird.
So, yeah. So they had so they had a bunch of D-list celebrities that were there. And so I was working with Dennis Rodman. That's where I did my VIP stuff.
I wouldn't put Dennis Rodman D-list. Like, he was definitely the top of that out of the three names.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He definitely was.
Was he Dennis Rodman-y, though?
Oh, 100%.
Like, you know when you think, double team?
No. I think he was Dennis Rodman, like, wedding dress to the NBA game. Rodman, right? Like, he's...
Yeah.
I don't know if Dennis listens to your show.
I hope he does. Shout out to Dennis Rodman.
You know what? If we can get some hate on Dennis Rodman, that'll really bump your numbers.
We're going to talk Korea after this. Sure. Okay.
All-time rebounder.
So Dennis Rodman.
Him and Pippen never talked. On the court.
I wouldn't talk to Pippen either.
Him, Pippen, and Jordan, they never really hung out.
Nobody liked him, I know.
They only played.
Yeah. But he was different, though. Anyways. Dennis Rodman.
So anyways, Dennis Rodman, quick story on that is we were doing VIP with him. The crew that I had didn't have any formal training for.
How do you recruit your crew?
So they were just doormen that I knew.
I'm just hanging out.
People you trust.
People I trust. I'm a pretty friendly guy too. So
hey, I like your doorman skills.
Yeah,
you want a gig and you flick a card out.
I wish it was that cool, but no card.
Damn it!
But that's what I would do. Is I walk to bars like, hey, I like you.
Yeah.
Hey, I like you.
Weird.
No, not that way.
Here's my number.
Yeah. Just come join me at this random tent. It'll be fine. So, anyways, I was teaching the group, and so I was very clearly in charge. Not because I was trying to be in charge, but I was the one teaching people how to move through a crowd with a VIP person.
Yeah.
So it's just a diamond formation. Whichever direction you move is the direction that that person is in charge. So if let's say this is the diamond and this is the VIP, our coffee here.
Yeah.
If we're walking this way, he's in charge because he's in front. And then if he turns, because we have to go
with him.
Oh,
so the diamond has different points.
Right. So this guy, if he takes a hard right, then now you're in charge.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Because we can't, like, you have to go around the
you can't, like,
you have to go around
front,
the VIP.
Yeah.
You can, so you move in a flow. It's pretty cool.
That makes so much sense now that you said that. I'm watching, paparazzi shit, and people are moving. Fucking, you just blew my mind.
Yeah. No, it's super. It's,
so the ideal VIP crew is four people?
Three minimum.
Three minimum, four ideal?
And honestly.
You want the diamond square.
Yeah. When it comes to human beings, less than three is not optimal for almost anything.
No.
Right? Like, even the best special forces on the planet, arguably, are the SAS. They work in threes, no more, no less.
Okay.
So under three, like, you can't cover all the angles.
Yeah.
Right? Two people aren't going to see everything. But three can, and of course, more is obviously better.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
So anyways, I'm clearly in charge of this because I'm like, hey, can you go this way? Hey, don't turn, whatever. Grab my favorite people.
And it's not like Rodman's a little target either.
No.
Fluorescent hair and taller than sin.
And this is why I got out of VIP work, because one of the clients I had did more cocaine than I've ever seen anybody do. And my job.
I'm not mad. I'm just impressed.
Yeah. And my job was to, like, babysit spoiled. Like, I wasn't, like, protecting the president. I was protecting some a-hole that did a movie one time.
And I'm in Edmonton now.
Yeah, I'm in Edmonton. I just couldn't do it. So I need to work with this guy. The shift ends. So Rodman. And so it used to be called The Bank. It's now called Boulevard.
Yeah, Bank. I remember that club.
Yeah, awesome. You're just too young for most of these stories.
Yeah,
it was a nice
and
spot.
I don't go out.
That's okay. You'll live longer than us. Oh, it sucks to be you. So as we're going down, the bank used to be an actual bank.
Yeah.
And so the bottom level was a vault.
Yeah.
And so Rodman had an after party in the yeah, it was really cool. So anyways, I didn't know that. So I'm sitting drinking with my crew because like the rule was like whatever's left in the beer tub, the crew gets.
Yeah.
And beards weren't selling really well, so we had a ton of beer. Yeah. So we're drinking. There's probably 26 of us. The tent event was insanely big when Oil City, when it was Oil City Group, it was nuts. Yes. And so us running that was insane. So we're exhausted. We've been there for 10 hours, like idiots.
And you're just
everywhere.
Ready for some beers. Yeah.
And Dennis Rodman, like of course women are throwing themselves at him. Men are throwing them. It's just, Dennis Rodman attracts all sorts. So about 20 minutes into the event, I hear, "Where's my cracker?" at like the top of somebody's lungs.
Were you the cracker?
I was the cracker.
That's awesome.
And so I'm like, and so we look around, and so we see Dennis Rodman. He's just on a boat. He's just a swaying. And I'm like, uh-oh. And he's like, "Where's my cracker?" And I'm like, "I believe I would be your cracker. Is
the cracker's
me?
Coming? The cracker's coming."
And he's like, "Yeah, that's the one. You come here." I'm like, "Okay." He's like, "Come with me." I'm like, "I don't want to go anywhere, Dennis Rodman. This isn't a great idea.
You're going to have to hide a body later."
And at this time, so I had mentioned I have a daughter to you guys, not to the show. I was married at the time. I'm no longer married. But I was married at the time. And so,
thanks, Dennis.
Yeah, and so my wife's like, "Are you coming home?" I'm like, "I don't know if I'm going to live tonight, to be honest with you." Like, Dennis Rodman's a wild card at best.
This is not Space Jam.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he told me he would double my rate to stay an extra 4 hours. He'd double my 10-hour rate.
Oh, fuck.
To stay for 4 hours. I said no.
What?
He tripled it. I said yes.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
I'm like, "No, man, not worth it." Like, "How about three times?" I'm like, "For 4 hours?" He's like, "Yes." I'm like, in a vault?
Yeah.
He's like, "Yes." I'm like, "Okay.
Done fine. Deal."
So we go down, do the thing. And so I walk it. I see, if there was a factory that printed blonde white girls, it was me, Dennis Rodman, his bodyguard, Maurice, whom I love.
Yeah.
Maurice, if you're listening, that'd be crazy. But if you are, please get a hold of me. You're the best. So, because this guy put up with Rodman all the time.
Yeah.
I had him for like hours and I was like, "I'm going to kill myself."
But
Maurice didn't give it. And Maurice is like exactly what you picture, like a big black former big black NFL player.
Yeah, big black from right, Robin Big.
He even had like the paperboy hat and like the button up shirt, like just classic.
Just a tough set as the entertainer.
Exactly. Yeah exactly. So I go down the stairs. Maurice is there. He's like, "This is going to get weird." I'm like, "Great, thanks." So we walk down. We're sitting. And so he's like, "You can take off your security shirt." I'm like, "Well, am I not here to work?" He's like, "We don't need to fucking work. We're in a vault." I'm like, "Oh God, I'm going to party with Dennis Rodman. I don't want to do this at
that's
all.
That's my first
I'm
orgy
married
story.
Now.
I'm married to Dennis Rodman." So so we're sitting
Denise
there.
Denise Rodman.
And yes.
He wore the dress.
So Dennis offers me like a Arabian Sultan. He says, "Any one of these girls you wish."
With his long.
Yeah, and they're so Dennis long. And I have the tiniest Trump hands on the planet. Like, and he has these, like, and I'm so insecure.
Yeah, he's
and he
six
has, like,
foot
these,
eight.
Yeah, and he's, yeah, and I'm assuming that matches the pants too, but has a huge grip, whatever.
Yeah.
So he's like, "Who do you want?" I'm like, "I'm good, married, like, baby on the way. I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm like, "But I'm here to work, so whatever you need." So then he mentions, he's like, "Hey, I heard you're like a knife guy." I'm like, "What does that mean?" He's like, "I heard you were stabbed. Like, you could take knives from people, blah, blah, blah." I'm like, I don't want to, but like, if it comes to it, I would try to.
Yeah.
So this is where the story gets unintentionally racist, and I don't mean it to. He grabs a bottle of Alizé.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. Smashes it.
Of course, like people do.
Was this a movie?
Yeah, and says, "What if I stab you with this N-bomb knife?"
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But he didn't say N-bomb, obviously.
Yeah. No.
And I still feel uncomfortable saying it. So I'm like, "Please don't stab me, Mr. Rodman."
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get stabbed here. He's like, "Fine, I won't. Maurice, stab this motherfucker."
He's like, "I'm paying you three times your rate. I'm going to stab you and it's going to be okay.
You said you got stabbed before. You can get stabbed again."
Pretty much was kind of the vibe. And so Maurice looks at me. He's like, I'm doing this. Sorry, bud. Like, this is my thing. And he just looked at me like, "I'm sorry.
You can stop me. I'm not going to go right at you."
Yeah,
but I'm going to.
He definitely gave me, he went like this. He went low while he was talking, like showing me what he was gonna do.
Yeah.
So whatever, I get to look like a badass because it's scripted. Whatever, I catch my throw and Rodman freaks out, fucking loves it.
Yeah,
that's my Dennis Rodman story.
That's amazing. Fucking dope, though, dude. I feel like there's more to that story.
No, it got debaucherous. I didn't do anything. I was married at the time. I wish I did now. But it didn't work out. Whatever. Yeah, I thought forever. Sure. The really cool thing about it was that the level of party that Rodman can do is.
Oh, it's next level. He's an alien.
Unbelievable.
Oh.
Like, just he just kept killing it and killed the whole night and just girl after girl after girl after girl in the room. And it was. And
I'm exhausted and anxious just listening to this story.
Yeah. Well, and of course, so, like, honestly, other than the women,
I'm
the only white dude in the room, and they threatened to stab me earlier.
Yeah.
So and he called you a cracker.
And he called me a cracker. And he referred to a broken bottle as a N-word knife. Like,
at the end of the night, you're like, fuck, that was crazy. Yeah, but I can't wait to tell this story. In this
fucking... 5 a.m, I get out of the... I get released from the vault. Yeah. 5 a.m, I'm released from the vault. And he's like, if you're ever in L.A., call me. I'm like, I will not, sir.
What? Yeah.
I'm going to call you crazy cocksucker.
That's nuts.
Yeah, what did you just, Dennis Robinson.
Hey, Dennis, it's the Edmonton cracker.
Didn't I try and stab you?
He's like, no, I got a cracker in every city.
Yeah. Okay, so you survive Rodman.
Sure.
You go on.
Barely.
You go on to open KPC. First of all, what does KPC stand for?
So it's my last name, King.
Yeah.
King's Progressive Combat is what it started as.
Okay.
And then it just became an acronym.
That's regal as fuck, though.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Last name's awesome, and especially when I'm on, because I work on reserves a lot, as we've mentioned.
Yeah.
Or we will mention or whatever. I'm not sure where we're at. But they don't believe my last name is King, because last names are big in a lot of the bands, a lot of the tribes. Yeah. Like, last name's a huge deal. And they're like, is your real name King? I'm like, it means nothing. Like, I don't have any white. Land.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't have
we're on Treaty 6 land, actually.
Yeah, this is actually your land.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so I started KPC actually right after I got divorced.
Okay.
So I got divorced, had the baby, my daughter Jasmine. I was in advertising at the time, so I was working security, but I also had an advertising gig in the daytime. I was working for the Yellow Pages, so I was selling advertising space.
What's the Yellow Pages?
Great question. So for the listeners that don't know, before you could Google things, there was a thick book.
Oh, my dad used to pay like $10,000 a month to advertise in that.
Oh, seriously?
Sweet commission, but they didn't pivot well. They didn't move online.
Yeah, terrible, like what the hell, right?
Yeah.
They just...
We were screaming at him. Anyways, digressing. Different podcast.
Yeah.
So... I just quit my job because I was going through divorce, and I decided to deal with it through violence, alcohol, and womanizing was my go-to. So really dove deep into that. Lost my job.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to work, right? As a hot girl. I'm
like, party. You were living Mad Men, basically.
Yeah, and I was kind of a closer at the time, which means like I only worked maybe 3 hours a week, but I would always get big. I would close a deal every week.
Yeah.
And then I stopped because I didn't have the backfill of commission. So... Got my act together. Was like, I need to do something here.
Yeah,
like,
pulled your socks up.
Yeah, I'm not happy. Advertising's fun, but I'm selling air. I'm not really doing anything for the world. I don't feel great.
It wasn't filling your good vibes tank.
Yeah, and my ex-wife made a lot of good points, right? Like, I was very money motivated. I was very, like, ambitious. Like, she's like, you would never see your kid if you were still doing this.
You were the wolf of White Ave.
Yeah, it wasn't great. So I'm not proud of it. So anyways, I decided to open a gym. Like, you know what? I'm broke. I'm divorced. I'm living my buddy's couch.
Yeah, 124th Street was still affordable.
Yeah, it wasn't 124th yet. It was we were right by Rexall, 101 and 106th Ave in what the police lovingly call Murder Hotel.
Beautiful.
Capitol Tower.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great.
That's where you started KBC.
Exactly
where
it is. Yeah, started in the ghetto.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah,
I know exactly where that building is.
Yeah, that big white one there or by Rogers rather.
There's always people dying in that fucking place.
100%. Yeah. It was great. Actually, the first day of the year, I think like 2013 or something, there was a case of like an overdose. It was like the second or third. And they're interviewing somebody. You can see my logo. I'm like, yes, free advertising.
Free advertising. Can't pay for that.
Right. So open KPC. And I opened it kind of Field of Dream style. There was nobody doing what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Right. So I was traveling literally all around the world. I was going to all over the States. I was in the Philippines. I went everywhere I could to try and get like what I thought was real. Right. Because what they were teaching here was at the time, it was bullshit. There was nothing that encompassed the knife stuff, that encompassed the pre-attack, that encompassed... like the psychology of it, right? Because like biology is important, but psychology is more important, right? If I can beat your brain, your body means nothing, right? And so that's the aspect that a lot of people, they were like, make your body hard. And in old school, like Kung Fu traditions, like it makes sense if you have 20 years, right? But most people don't have time for mastery. They only have time for competence.
Yeah.
And so I was looking for the key to competence, right? Like, how do I make people as good, as fast, as possible, with limited time, because they have jobs and families and they're not going to do this their whole life.
No, totally. They got a Groupon. Let's give them the best we can.
Exactly. And so that's where KPC started. It started in a two-car garage, like all big businesses, apparently. And everybody's like, oh, that's where Apple started.
Apple.
I'm not Apple.
Microsoft.
Yeah.
Always in a garage.
Always in a garage. Yeah. So started there. Had a 5-year plan to have it full time in 5 years. Was full time in a year and a half. They took to it. Advertising guy, social guy, plus working the bars. Yeah. Right. So I was like, I'm opening a gym. It was like, we know you, and so everybody kind of came and started.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then how did I transition to traveling? That was always the goal.
So how long have you been running KPC now?
10 years in October.
Okay, so you're coming up to the big.
So
the
that's actually a loaded question. I don't run KPC anymore.
No,
no. So I travel and I create content and I do books. I have a manager and I have a head coach that run it now.
Okay.
So I don't think I've taught a class in
forever.
Yeah.
You still pop in, though.
I still pop in. Yeah. I'm still there to train the trainers and do that kind of stuff. Okay. I'm still at KPC, but it's not my primary gig anymore.
Gotcha.
I'm more of a consultant and less of a owner now.
Okay.
So I opened it full time in that murder hotel. So it'll be 10 years officially October.
That's awesome, dude.
Full time. Yeah.
Really, that's a big deal, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 years is a long time. Do your own thing.
It really is. I'm terminally unemployable now. Like, I don't think I could work for somebody else.
No.
I
make my own call. Like, what are you going to do? No, but you're to the point where you don't have to because you took this, you spun it, and now you're doing what you really wanted to do, which is evolving. Reality-based self-defense is the best way to describe it now that I've had you explain it.
Right.
Because I'm like, what do you mean reality-based? Yeah. That's dumb.
A punch is a real punch. It's not fake, Randy.
Yeah, exactly. No, so the thing about KPC is it's not accredited. It's just self-defense. Correct. But this isn't like King of the Hill self-defense. Like, you took my purse and kick him in the nuts.
And so I think that's a great way to put it. Accredited, no, we're not part of a global organization.
No, you're your own brand of awesome.
The cool thing about it is that we get to change curriculum real time.
Yeah.
Right? So let's say trend in Edmonton goes up, carjackings are high.
Yeah.
I don't have to be like, hey, Japan, can we teach carjacking?
Yeah.
Right? We could just change it right now.
Okay.
So it gave me, while it lost some credibility and some of the other people in Edmonton tried to use that against me, it did not hurt us.
Okay.
Because we've always been up front.
Yeah.
And also what we're teaching is real time, up to date data on what's happening right now.
Yeah. Statistical facts.
It's relatable.
Right? Exactly. So if somebody's like, oh, like I was at this other school because I have a Krav Maga certification. I got in Toronto.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, do you teach Krav Maga? I'm like, technically there's some Krav in there, right? Which is an Israeli art, if the listeners don't know. And it's like a big deal. Every TV show references it.
We've
right
all
now.
Seen the Zohan.
You've all seen, on. Yeah, okay, perfect. Yeah. So, we've all seen the Zohan. So people ask like, oh, well, you're not accredited. I'm like, you're right. But like the people that are accredited are learning a style from an occupied country where they have body armor and weapons.
Right.
Is any of this your reality?
No.
No, you're a soccer mom, Janet. Like, chill out.
Fuck Carrie.
Yeah.
So that's what I think the beauty is. So we're not accredited other than through like the Violence Dynamics group that I work with and through Rory Miller, through conflict communication. But the physical skills are just...
Okay, so how did you get to meet your idol, Rory Miller? Because Rory Miller kind of paved the way for what you're doing, from what I read today, in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, apparently I'm sweating to death because it's coffee. So
coffee and the lights.
Coffee and the lights. Woo,
and I'm grilling you, Randy.
Just sitting here lying on the stand here.
Where were you last night?
I don't even know.
So what exactly do you do now then?
So how did I meet Rory, or what do I do now?
How did you meet Rory, and how did that lead to what you do now?
Got it. So Rory Miller, cannot say enough good things about this guy. He is the first person to really talk about the psychological aspect of violence.
Yeah.
He was a corrections officer for a very long time. He is a little autistic. And autistic people are really, really good at making models because they don't understand human interaction. Mm. So they need to make a model for human interaction.
Yeah, there's no emotion.
Oh, right? Okay. So for me, I'm a social guy. So I don't need to know why I'm good at being friendly. I just be friendly, right?
That's you.
Yeah.
That's
Why is Gretzky a shit coach? Because he just was good and sat
and
by the
net. And a terrible actor.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like you don't need to know why you're good at something. If you're good at it, you just be good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Rory was not good at people.
No.
But he needed a job. He had a baby on the way.
Yeah.
Right? So he was in the military, was a medic, and then he decided to do this law enforcement thing. Then he wrote a book. That book, I think, revolutionized the industry.
What's the book?
It's called Facing Violence by Rory Miller.
Okay.
I actually read Meditation on Violence first. It got me out of my depression and back into teaching. Rory's, how I met him was one of my students, Myron Cossett, who runs CrossFit Movement Lab here in Edmonton.
Okay.
He was a student of mine full-time at the time. And he was like, we're going to this event called Water and Steel in Seattle, where we do like 4-day stick fighting camp. Pretty cool. And he told me like, hey, like Rory Miller, you're like idol, because I used him for everything. Rory's the reason I created a syllabus, like a class plan in the first place, because I couldn't remember everything.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I need to write this down so people get all this amazing information. We found out he was in Minneapolis doing this thing called Violence Dynamics. So we just drove and met him. Like,
that's awesome.
That's it. I'm like, let's go. So we went. We met him. We bonded really fast. The Violence Dynamics thing was really cool. But I have a special skill set that a lot of martial artists don't have, which is a marketing background.
Okay.
Right? So martial artists are good at kicking and punching, being physical, but they don't know how to build anything.
Yeah.
Right? They break stuff. That's their job.
Yeah.
So this Violence Dynamics had three of the biggest names in the industry at the time, two of the biggest names in the industry, an up-and-comer. So Mark the Animal McYoung, who is the grandfather of this in North America. And Rory was his, like, I don't want to say protege, but Rory was definitely riding his coattails.
Okay.
Right? Getting his book promoted, etc. Kind of like what I'm doing to Rory right now.
Yeah, no.
And so Mark was there, Rory was there, And this guy, Casey, who's a very good friend of mine now, he's the lead of the Minneapolis or the Ramsey County SWAT team for St. Paul, Minneapolis.
Oh, shit.
So big deal.
Yeah.
So they run into this thing. There's eight people at this thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is there only fucking eight people? This guy's written like the books on this. This is like the granddaddy. This is a SWAT officer. Because
they don't know
how to
get the fucking name,
the
word out.
They don't know what to do, right?
Yeah, they flyered at the
bouncer,
local mini mall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bouncer, jail guard, cop. All of them just take orders. That's their job. They don't think outside the box. So I was like, hey, no snake oil here because I'm a very salesman-y person.
Yeah.
And so people might think this attitude I have is disingenuous. This is me when I wake up all the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, if you guys don't mind, like if I come to this next year for free,
yeah,
I'll do all your advertising.
Yeah.
And they're like, sure. So blew the doors off at 40 people at it the next time because not a hard sell.
No.
Right? Just like, hey.
You get 40 people in.
Yeah. You're at a major city in the United States and there's some pretty major people coming. So blew the doors off and then I became friends with them there. So I worked back end for a while.
Okay.
And then Mark's wife is very sick and Mark was a bouncer. I was a bouncer.
So you guys had that bond.
So we had a close. We had similar jobs. And okay. So Mark couldn't make it 1 year.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, if I'm on the bench, I guess I'll try this. And so that went really, really well. And then that's kind of where I got to now. So Violence Dynamics is actually coming up in October. That'll be 10 years next year. So 9 years of Violence Dynamics.
So you've been in the game for a minute then.
Yeah, I've been doing this for a while. But okay. I'm also weirdly younger than almost everybody at my level.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because most of them have full jobs and then retire.
This was their retirement gig.
Yeah, and this has been my gig.
They got that full pension and they're like, oh, well, we'll do this.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's why they don't really need to market.
Yeah. And those that don't.
Because they got their bills paid. Now it's just extra drinking money with their friends.
Yeah. And those that can't do teach. Not that they can't do it. They can't do it at the caliber they once were.
Exactly.
But to sidetrack it for a second, you know what's an amazing caliber of product? Concept Beard Co. Go to conceptbeard.com. Use awesome at checkout to save how much, Ivan?
10%.
Holy shit, I almost screwed up 10% of this ad read, but I didn't. So go to conceptbeardco.com. Fuck, I fucked it up.
Jesus, fuck.
Yeah,
conceptbeard.com.
Use awesome at checkout in the promo box to save 10%. Concept Beard Co., an amazing product. Put it in your beard. Randy, you're leaving with a bottle today.
Yes.
Shouts to Mike.
Mike, and this week, I do believe he will be at the 124th Street Market.
I'm going.
Slinging the oils.
We're going.
That's
not
awesome.
Not the snake oils, but the beard oils.
Elixirs.
Concept Beard Co. Use awesome at checkout.
I've actually never tried beard oil. I'm actually excited to try it.
Oh, you're going to. And you're getting.
This smells awesome.
Yeah, this is based off an episode.
Because,
nice.
You feel Alex Payne when you put it on.
Yeah, you'll read the label. It's made of fat, shame, tears. It's a whole thing. But awesome. Yeah, you're taking some home today, Randy.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Concept Beard Co. So, Randy, back to what you're doing.
Sure.
So you're in the game 10 years.
Yep.
Traveling, teaching
internationally 5.
Okay.
Teaching.
So 10. When you teach internationally, I've seen on your Instagram, you're teaching bouncers how to defuse situations.
Yeah.
You're teaching people how not to get stabbed by Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
But then you're also teaching
very
like
specific class.
Very, very specific. And it's just you and Maurice.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Oh, Maurice, I miss you.
Shout out to Maurice. But then you're also doing the Lord's work. And by Lord's work, I mean good stuff.
Sure.
You're going out and you're helping under privileged youth. You're helping abuse people. Mm-hmm. So how do you come up with your curriculum and how do people book you? Like, what's that aspect of it?
Interesting. A great question. So it's me buying time. Great question. Oh, let me think about that for a second. Let me just buy some time here.
I asked 15 questions in the form of one. Randy,
yes.
Your ball.
Let me organize that in my head. So yes, now how my business plan works. I'm a business plan guy. I've always been like a 5-year plan, 10-year plan. Crush those numbers. Make a new one. Blah, blah,
live,
blah.
Eat,
alpha,
pray.
Alpha, 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 right? So just grind. That's my mentality. Hence why
live,
I have
pray.
So many things.
Yeah.
Yes, eat, love, pray. Whatever mantra gets you through the day and gets you productive.
YOLO.
So I got the honor of traveling because Violence Dynamics. So the way Violence Dynamics is a 4-person team. It's currently myself, Tamyard McCracken, Casey Keckheisen, and Rory Miller. Rory's retiring. I'm not sure where the future lies with him.
Okay.
And that's almost like an interview, right? So like there's 30 or 50 people in there. Some are school owners.
Yeah.
I do a class. They like what I'm doing. And then they go big. So for example, I was in London last year.
Yeah.
We taught a Violence Dynamics seminar. 70 people.
70 London,
instructors.
Ontario?
No, London, England.
Oh.
I do teach in London, Ontario, though. London, England. We were there. And there were 70 people. And 50 of them owned schools.
Hmm.
And so then I got to do my Randy King show, right? Yeah. And then they're like, oh, we like this guy that I did a European tour last
month. Have you ever dressed as Elvis?
Ago. Not yet.
That'd
not,
be awesome.
Not off the docket, for sure. So he did karate, right? Yeah, exactly.
Karate. I got a cough.
You're
like,
dying.
I don't even smoke.
So we, so that's kind of how I started touring, was that people saw me, and then social media, right? So if your people are watching, please follow me on all the social medias.
Yeah, we'll let you plug at the end.
Thank you. So it that was a huge jump because the people started kind of picking up what I was putting down.
Yeah.
And maybe they couldn't afford Miller's rates, but I was like low rent Rory Miller.
Yeah, right? You were.
So I'm like the up.
He's Target, you're Walmart.
Yeah, and the way I'm looking at it is like in this room, there's a lot of band stuff. I'm the opening act, and I'm totally cool with that.
That's awesome because the opening bands go on to then
eventually get their own tour, right?
There you go.
And that was the model that I used.
Yeah.
And it worked. So I did a cross-country trip. I did 8 cities in 6 weeks all across Canada.
So
in my
are you
SUV.
Going selling yourself, or do you have people that want you? Like
everything
somebody wants you in Winnipeg, but then you find someone that wants you in Regina as well.
Yes.
So you sell yourself in Regina on your way to Winnipeg.
Both. So the people that, so example, I was gone for 5 weeks in Europe. So I did Netherlands, Germany, Denmark, and then I did 2 cities, St. Louis on the way out and Boston on the way back.
Okay.
And so I got the 1 gig in the Netherlands, and I was like, look, the biggest cost of me coming is the airfare.
Yeah.
Right? So if I'm already here, does anybody else want to hire me while I'm in the region? And Europe's like a puddle. It's like, oh, it's nothing.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got the other one. So yes, people approach me, which is awesome. I get a ton of work from people just like finding me.
Yeah.
Through like references or whatever. I'm in a lot of, I haven't written a lot, but I'm referencing a lot of the current literature because of quotes or whatever.
Okay.
I've been around for a while.
Yeah.
And so people find me, they get me, I'm reasonably cheap in this world. So they hire me and then I come and I build my fan base that way. So again, just like a band, right? That's
been my
model.
Do you find that social media has been helped you?
100%. Without
like if you were trying to do this 15 years ago when Rory was making his way, do you think it would have been more of a struggle?
Yes. I couldn't have done it this way. I would have had to have been attached to an international organization.
Okay.
There would have been no option.
Or in the Yellow Pages.
Or in the Yellow Pages, right.
Exactly.
And all of the Yellow Pages in the world. So, which would be pricey for sure.
Very expensive.
I guess I want to be in Denmark. I guess I'll pay the Yellow Pages. So, no, I think social media is amazing. It's the reason I got to do what I do.
Changing
which is,
everything
it's,
right now.
It's
so crazy.
It's pivoting so fast and people aren't keeping up, which is cool because I'm still young enough to be like, oh, I can pivot still.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right?
You're still, okay.
So what I do then is, as you mentioned, because I'm doing the Lord's work, is the big gigs. Like, so I made a ton of money in Europe. I did really well. I'm huge in Denmark. I had no idea. I sold out 3 seminars.
Okay, Hasselhoff.
Yeah, no idea. That's Germany. They don't like me in Germany. I'm not Hasselhoff.
Okay.
Germans were like, no. Pass. But
they killed many more people.
Yeah, but the Danes were like, this guy's the best. I don't know. It was like Drago,
German.
Maybe?
German. That's my German.
That was very Russian.
It was
that
very
was
Russian.
Russian.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
Putin over
it
here.
It was Eastern Bloc for sure. It could have been Ukrainian.
Fair enough.
So I get to do that. So what I do then, the big tickets, so like Violence Dynamics and the ones that I get paid for, corporate stuff, I use that money to pay my bills.
Fair enough.
And like I mentioned earlier, I was in advertising. I did fairly well in advertising.
Yeah.
I'm not the humble brag, but I did really good. So the hump bike, straight up brag, I was crushing it.
Yeah.
I left that on purpose. I left because the hollow money wasn't doing it for me, so I'm doing this for something else.
Yeah.
And this is where my style or my brand of self-defense really kicks in, is when you go to I wasn't in Cold Lake, I was on the Cold Lake Reserve.
Yeah.
Going in there and teaching a BJJ class, no matter how effective BJJ is not what those women need.
No.
They need to learn a bunch of other stuff before
it even gets to that contact.
Exactly, right? And so that's my thing. So I use the big ticket deals to do the lower stuff. So,
gotcha.
So I get to do the rewarding stuff, which is like I can go and talk at like a Chimo youth group or at UCAN. I work with in UCAN here, or I work on a lot of reserves around Alberta with a woman named Amanda from Paradigm Self-Esteem. Great company. I get to do that guilt-free because all my bills are paid with the woohoo, Randy's here kind of big deal-y, big ticket stuff, right?
The Elvis shit,
exactly. Yeah. So it's really cool. I enjoy it. I hopefully keep going with it. Like I said, I'm in Scotland here coming up next month, then back in Minneapolis, and then I take the rest of the year off, and then 2020 opens the calendar again, and I traveled.
Side note, speaking of calendars,
yes.
The Randy King Live website calendar, yes. Are you a baseball fan by any chance?
No.
Okay, because your calendar is the Yankees calendar.
What's that? It's empty?
The Yankees, as in like the New York Yankees.
Right.
It's their ball calendar, so all of their games are on your calendar. Yeah. So I thought you were like a low-key Yankees fan?
No, I don't enjoy any sports ball at all.
Okay,
like none.
So fun fact, your website calendar is the Yankees MLB schedule.
That's clearly a placeholder that I got to fix tonight when I get home, I guess.
How did you even make that
I was digging for notes. Hey, yeah.
That was awesome.
So, yeah, heads up there.
That's good to know.
The
Thank
Yankees
you.
Have a game tomorrow.
We got the hat right here, too.
Yeah. There we go.
Right out of the stadium.
You're traveling.
Yes.
But you say you're taking the rest of the year off.
Yeah.
You said you're writing a new book.
Yes.
You've already written a book.
Yes.
And it's called, I have it written down, Selling Out Your Level of Comfort, How to Create a Business on Your Own Terms.
Yes.
Forward by Rory Miller.
Yes.
So is this basically your story?
No.
On how to do
kind
thing?
Of. So it's
because it's a three-parter. There's part one, part two, part three.
Yes.
How to build, how to keep,
yeah.
You know, how to build.
Yeah.
How to live. I have it written down.
Sure.
Basics,
yeah,
marketing and sales, and then keeping them once you have them.
Yeah. So the book was designed because Rory, again, Miller is a big inspiration. He used to come to Edmonton once a year.
Yeah.
We'd bring him up before I started traveling. And Rory, we used to be, since I'm no longer the primary contact at KPC, we didn't used to have kids' classes. I don't enjoy teaching children.
Okay.
If my running gag is, if you can afford my class, you generally don't need my class.
Fair enough.
Right? So like the kids that can afford the class, they're pretty affluent, right?
Yeah.
The problems they're causing are probably their own problems.
Yeah.
Right? They can be fixed. There's no real gain for that. And I don't enjoy working with children. I just don't.
No.
I have one. I
love the honesty.
It's true. It's not my jam. I prefer work with adults because just we could talk about the stuff that I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk to a kid.
You don't have to
sugarcoat
it.
Three models of violence. And
yeah.
So little Timmy, if you get raped, like it's not.
Whoa, Randy.
Oh, yes.
Whoa. This is the thing to do.
Yeah. So
someone comes at you with a hammer.
Yes, exactly.
Have the dude shoot him.
So we had no kids classes. So I was the only person he'd seen. Roy travels 40 weekends a year.
Yeah.
Different gyms all the time. He's like, you're the only gym I've seen that only does adults and you make money.
Yeah.
He's like, how? Because adults is like the hardest martial arts group. Every martial arts guru on the planet will tell you to run kids classes. That's how you make your business.
That's your brunch if you're a chef.
Exactly. Yeah. And I hate kids class. I hate them. They're dumb and they're patronizing and I just don't enjoy them. I don't teach them, by the way. We have a kids class. I don't teach it. So if you want to bring your kids, I'm not the one complaining the whole time. My partner Thor is amazing with children and the program is awesome. Digressing. So he was like, you need to start. So what he started doing was sending people my way, like asking questions. And I honestly just wrote the book because I was so sick of answering the same 8 questions.
Fair enough.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to write this down.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to put worksheets in the book.
And then I'm going to sell you the book.
And then, the book, I actually mostly give it away for free just because it's my new bar for entry. So we live in a society where everybody wants everything for free, but they want to work for it.
Right.
Lazy.
I literally give people a blueprint. Here's my book for free. I'll mail it to you. I'll pay shipping.
Yeah.
Fill out the worksheets, come back, and we can talk.
Fair enough.
Nobody comes back.
That's the Gary Vee approach, man.
They can't even read a book I'm giving them for free.
Yeah. Like, what the they can't be bothered.
Yeah.
Probably because it was free. They didn't have to pay. They got no skin in the game. That's
exactly.
why.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe they got to pay. I don't know. But so the book is, it did okay. I didn't enjoy, I'm not a writer. I didn't enjoy writing it.
It's got to be cool to see your work out there. Now.
It was interesting.
Just add author to your fucking. You.
Yeah. It's self-published. Cool. So Authors Week, I think.
Hey, there's a lot of people self-publishing books that are just banking on the author thing.
Sure. And so. they're not incorrect, I guess.
No.
I guess they can't say published author, but.
Fair enough.
On that note, I might be a published author. I have a potential book deal right now with a company called YMAA. And they're a martial arts publication. And I'm writing an updated. So Rory Miller's book, Facing Violence, is super dated now. And
his cover art is super dated as well. Yeah.
So I'm looking to update that to a new one. So I'm writing a book right now. Working title is Starting at Zero, The Guide to Self-Defense for Everybody Else.
Okay.
Because what's happening right now in the industry is everybody writing these books are like former Navy SEALs and former blonde. It's not relatable. And they're highly trained. And also the things that people hit, they would never consider. So example, I have a client. When I first met her, she had been sexually assaulted. She'd been raped multiple times by multiple variations of single to multiple people.
Okay.
So she's had a real bad run. And she'd read all these books. And she's like, oh, I'm broken. Because all the people reading these have gone through training to deal with this. They've gone through boot camp. They've been hardened and toughened. And I haven't done any of that. I'm soft as fuck.
Yeah.
So the talking to them, I talked to this one woman and she was like, I'm like, okay, I never want to judge. You can't survive incorrectly.
Yeah.
If you're alive, you cannot survive wrong. So I'm not here to judge you. I'm not going to put anything on you.
No, your survival instincts are there for a reason.
But did you ever fight back? And she's like, no, I never did.
No.
And I was like, why? Like
it's
again,
safer
again,
not
no,
to.
That's not what she said.
No, really?
No. What she said was, I don't think I'm worth fighting for.
Oh, that's some mental health shit.
So that's where my angle is going to come in is, look, you might be starting at -6.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people pat themselves on the back. A lot of martial arts gyms like, oh, we had this really weak, vulnerable person come in and then we made them strong. Like you didn't. You helped sharpen them, but you don't know the 800 steps they took to email you to show up at the
gym. Though.
They fought 90% of their battle, and you're taking credit for 100%.
Okay.
Right? Where you did 10. So the goal of the new book is updated models to understand. So even if they don't go to a physical class, which you should, go to a physical class.
Yeah.
Even if you don't go to a physical class, you still have some kind of awareness that's not there.
Gotcha.
Because example, everybody, one of my favorite examples is, do you know the difference between paranoia and intuition?
No.
Right. And so a lot of people, I'm like, when people are like, well, trust your intuition. And they're like, well, I don't want to be paranoid. I'm like, well, those are
different. As a super anxious person, I feel like I just run on paranoia.
Sure, right?
That's and my spider sense.
A lot of people do. Your Peter tingle as they've rebranded.
Yeah, the Peter tingle.
But so my definition of, I'm not checking because I thought I wrecked it. I'm
oh,
not
no,
checking.
It's okay.
My definition of paranoia versus intuition is paranoia is something you think all the time.
Yeah.
Intuition is something you feel in the moment.
Fair enough.
And so I want people to trust that, right? I want people to trust their intuition. I don't want them to trust their paranoia. Yeah. So if you're pouring cereal in the morning, you're like, bikers are evil, then that's paranoia. There's no biker in your house. But if you are going to get on an elevator and for some reason the biker gives you a weird vibe, I want you to trust that.
Oh, okay.
So just giving people these, because there's so much just garbage thrown at people out there.
Yeah.
Like, don't wear a ponytail because attackers like ponytails. Bullshit. Refuted really? 1,000 times.
So not to cut you off. So the backwards hat thing at the bar.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, you can't wear your hat backwards because they'll grab it and fucking.
Yeah. No.
Says I.
Yeah, so it's not a factor, but it is not the cause of the attack.
Yeah.
Right. So, victim blaming. We've heard this, obviously, right? And I'm against it. I don't think that it sucks when stuff happens to people. Obviously, anytime. So we talk about predatory violence. So outside the bar stuff. So predators, somebody hunting another human being. Right?
Yeah.
Rapists, muggers, etc. Dexter. When a predator selects a target, they go through a risk reward. Choice, right?
Yeah.
Is the juice worth the squeeze here, right? So if I want to victimize you, okay, you look like you're younger than me, you might be in better shape. Do you do a physical job?
Ugh, no.
No? Okay, so I know maybe like
we do. It's he says no, but we do.
Okay, right. Have you, if you've ever tried to like grapple a mechanic, like their grip is fucking nuts because they're twisting wrenches all day, right? So you can do a risk reward. That's why I asked, are you mechanics?
We're auto body. We're body. Same shit.
That's what I, yes, why I asked like, you because you're
I'm a mechanic technically. Okay. These guys just put panels on.
Sure.
And so, this was Jay's last appearance on the podcast.
And he plays with trannies.
I play with trannies all day.
All day trannies. So
you sized me up and I didn't even know it. Yeah, so looking at you, like I don't have a great grip strength. So I'm like, are you worth, am I worth picking you or am I going to wait for the next victim?
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
So yes, you can draw attention by dressing incorrectly.
Yeah.
But also, people have been sexually assaulted in their laundry outfit. And if you don't know what I mean by that, I mean like you're dirty, scrubby. Yeah. Like, I guess we got to do laundry.
Yeah.
There's no level.
Predators can just tell who's easy to prey on.
Yeah.
That's just a natural thing they seem to have.
Exactly. So you know? Dress, hairstyle doesn't matter.
No.
There is no level of poor you can be to not be robbed. And there is no level of unattractive you can be to not be victimized.
Fair
so
enough.
So all we can do is raise the risk. We cannot lower the reward low enough.
Yeah.
So that's why I hate victim blaming. Because like, oh, we shouldn't have went there. Well, no. Oh, she made it. Maybe he or she made a bad choice.
Yeah. Wouldn't dress that way if they didn't want it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's because people, and this is a thing that people have to understand, is everybody makes things personal, but they forget that also when people are talking, it's personal. So if I say like, oh, you got attacked. Oh, but you're wearing a Boston hat. That makes sense. Because
well,
in my head, I can say I would never wear a Boston hat, so I won't get attacked.
Oh.
So why I'm picking on you, I'm also reinforcing that shit won't happen to me because I don't act like you.
Fair enough.
So it's a two-sided coin.
Oh, wow.
You're lost. Just dropping down.
Yeah, you're just mind blown. Okay, so I wanted to talk your podcasts.
Yes.
But we're running low on time because we're at an hour right now.
Sure.
And I wanted to ask, so because you're talking mental health, you're talking real base. Do you find the rise of mental health awareness, is that playing into people wanting to protect themselves more or – is it helping them? Like, you found Rory's book and that helped you out of your depression.
Yes.
I have a friend who does KPC because meditation doesn't work for him.
Yeah.
So he goes and he puts in the time that way.
Sure.
Do you know what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
So with mental health on the rise, do you find your reality-based self-defense has found a niche almost?
No. And the reason why is...
That question makes sense?
Yeah, Chris made a lot of sense.
Okay.
It's just not the answer I think you're expecting. So it's... No, it hasn't. It's actually made things worse because if you treat mental health as a incurable illness, then working on yourself is impossible.
Fair enough.
So what used to happen was, okay, I'm depressed. I need to do something new to not be depressed. But now people are just, I am depressed, not I'm feeling
that's
depressed.
That's their identity
right
now.
So now they can't work outside of that. So I'm actually having more trouble trying to get people out because I'm like, well, oh, you're in a bad state. Like, you know, maybe if you work through it, like, well, I can't, I am depressed. I am a depressed person. I'm like, I agree.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that doesn't happen clinically, but it's not happening the levels clinically if you look at the stats that people are saying online.
Okay.
So it's not having the effect that people would want. And it's also, it's making victim blaming worse. It's people are deepening and they're really sinking their feet into like, this is me now. And they let what happened to them become them.
They let their past dictate their future.
Yeah.
Like Matthew Good. Like I was saying, he just makes himself fucking be sad to be sad.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Like, I'm depressed. Fuck off.
Sure.
You can't change that.
It's yeah, like, and well, no, that's exactly. He's,
put some
he's
effort into
that.
Your fucking yeah. life, and mm-hmm. you would.
Right. Well, we just lost Matthew Good as a listener.
Sure.
So.
Damn it.
Peace
Beautiful
out.
Midnight is my favorite album.
But no, that's why I think that's the thing is like this. I love the awareness of mental health.
Yeah.
But I hate the generation of self-diagnosis.
Oh,
right,
100%.
It's a crutch at this point.
It's, well, and it's you
it's not a crutch.
It's
but,
easy too.
Yeah, and you don't know like, and I don't know. This could be sample bias. So
yeah.
Definitely grain of salt. This I'm not a psychologist. I just kick people for a living.
Yeah.
So just like I say smart words doesn't mean I'm smart. But it seems like everybody's talking about mental health, which is good.
Yeah.
But the people
they're not having the right conversations about it
because so many people are talking about it, the people they're screaming are being drowned out.
Oh,
right, because everybody has a voice, and so now the person's like, really, no, but really, guys, and you're like, of course you're depressed. Everybody's depressed. It's a depressive age.
Yeah,
but the person that's screaming, like,
that's legitimately depressed.
Yeah, like, help me! I don't think I'm gonna make it till tomorrow. You're like, yeah, but that's what the cam girl said yesterday. Like, I don't give a shit. Right? Like, you know what I mean? Does that make sense at all?
No, that's legit. Makes total sense. 100% legit, right there.
Yeah. No, and that's yeah.
With so many people being sad all the time, who do you really?
Who's not
who's
sad?
Really sad?
Exactly.
Who needs help?
Yeah, and the people like I've worked with so many amazing people that have come through. Just like things I would never want to go through. There's an amazing human named Eric Kondo. He lost the use of his legs in a car accident.
Yeah.
And then he decided to become a BJJ black belt with no
legs. That's nuts.
Like, I don't think I have that in me. And I got to hope I never have to find out if I do or don't.
Right.
But there's so many people that are going through so much stuff. And I understand that everybody breaks different, right?
Yeah.
I like to quote a show called Burn Notice. I don't want to go too far over on time if it's okay.
No, I know.
Okay. But... Burn Notice is an old show. If anybody's seen it, there's a secret agent. You've seen it? Yeah. Anyways.
Burn Notice wasn't Campbell, Bruce Campbell in it? No.
Yes, he was.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
the show.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So anyways, long story short, the main character is like a CIA agent and his brother's like a classic TV loser.
Yeah.
And so he's asking the recruiter, he's like, hey, like how come like you recruited me, not my brother? We come from the same background, we have the same mom, we have the same blah. And the recruiter said, he's like, you can have two glass bottles from the same line, from the same shift, made by the same person. You can drop both those bottles. One will turn into a shiv and one will break into 1,000 pieces. Everybody breaks differently.
That's right? Actually really good. Yeah.
Yeah. But nobody breaks incorrectly. Does that make sense?
No, like, everyone breaks to their own.
Exactly. And so you break to what you need at the moment, right? I had to take a year off of martial arts to then now I can be this person talking about depression. But the people that, how do I put this?
There's people that wallow and then there's people that get through it. Does that make sense?
Yes. And there's, I agree, there
but
is,
the people
yeah.
who wallow almost seem to want the attention.
Yeah, and there is definitely some of that, right?
There's like, a lot of that, right?
And that's where social media can
that's
also
what social media
too.
Is doing to the world.
Well, yeah, you feel more connected, but you're more alone 100%, right? Oh. So it's such a, it's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of like my view on it. Like, and again, if you're struggling through something, I'm not trying to minimize your struggle.
No,
that
not
is
at all.
Not what I'm saying.
There's people
and
to talk
call
to.
Somebody.
Yes, yes exactly. Right?
You just have to do something about it.
Yeah, you should try at least, mm-hmm. right? There's options. Everybody's talking about this. There's so many programs and people willing to help. And I saw a meme because my whole brain is just memes.
Dude,
and
totally.
I saw a meme and it was, I would rather hear you complain for 2 hours than hear about you for a 50-minute eulogy.
Get a hold
no,
of
legit.
Right?
Yeah,
legit.
So like the people out there that need the help, get it. And if you're truly depressed, you're definitely going to think, well, everybody's depressed, so why would I be special at it? Mm-hmm. And if you're thinking that, you're the one that needs help the most.
No,
so get
seriously.
There, right? Like, and that's the problem is if everybody's depressed, you're like, well, no, I'm even less special than I thought. And now,
yeah.
and the people that are screaming are getting drowned up by people just yapping about it. So
yeah.
it's a problem.
Great. I don't want to end the show like that.
Sure.
Randy, what's your favorite dinosaur? People don't ask that anymore.
My favorite dinosaur?
What the fuck is your favorite dinosaur?
I'm like really pro Triceratops.
Yeah?
I think
really?
It's got like 3 knives and an armored face. Like that's
I
pretty
guess.
Badass.
I dig it.
Right?
That is
like,
badass.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like a 3 spear, like a T-Rex. I know it's like the, but the arms.
It's
I couldn't,
like a dinosaur
I couldn't
tri-unicorn.
And if a, like a T-Rex comes at you and it bites a Triceratops and it gets the front, like it can't even use its arms to stop the damage.
They said the T-Rex was just a scavenger anyway. It didn't fight.
Did anybody. They really? Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
I'm an Ankylosaurus guy.
Just an Ankylosaurus.
I like the protection.
What's the one with the, is that the one with like the whip ball tail? Like the medieval weapon? That's sick.
It's like a dino armadillo.
Nice.
And also when you watch like movies or like the Defenders or I've reached an hour and now I'm done.
His brain shuts off.
Yeah.
I'm over
martial arts movies.
I can do this all day, son.
TV fightings.
When you do the TV fightings, do you pick it apart?
No.
No? You just enjoy it for what it is?
I like the like stuff. So it's, you can, there's a definitely, like a lot of people do that.
Like the hallway scene, season one, Daredevil.
Oh, so good.
It's
so
amazing.
It's amazing, but it's unrealistic, obviously, but it's also like, this is my first awakening for this.
Yeah.
If you got a couple more seconds.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Okay.
So it was, we're sitting in a, watching a movie. I think it was Blade, like the original Blade I saw like 8 times in the theater. That scene where he gets sunglasses, sick. So we were watching it and I was with a friend of mine who's a carpenter at the time, like second or third year, like really new, wanted to talk about carpentry like all the time. Super fun.
That guy.
Yeah. But that guy.
Hey, you want to see pictures of the deck I built?
Yeah.
Moving on.
So I think, it might have not been Blade, but a guy kicks the door open and the door blows off the hinges.
He's like, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah. So my carpenter friend is like, oh, that wouldn't happen. I'm like, can we maybe suspend disbelief? There's vampires in this.
It's a fucking movie.
It's a movie. Like, we're full fantasy here.
You're like, okay. You're like, I'm okay with vampires. I'm okay with immortality. I'm okay. But wood structure, I draw the line.
Don't think so. And not so, happening.
I just built one of those. That wouldn't happen.
Exactly. So I don't want to be that guy with martial arts movies. I just like stuff. The Raid. Have you seen The Raid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That stuff's sick. Like anything Ico is in, even that Wu Assassins, which is kind of weird, hokey on Netflix.
Yeah.
Anything that guy. And I'll watch, but I like to like stuff, right?
That's so good.
It's fun.
Randy, I can't say thank you enough. Like we could talk for another hour. We'd love to have you back on in the future.
I would love to come back on.
But for right now,
yes.
Let us know, let the listeners know where they can find more of you.
Sure.
Plug away, my friend.
I'm literally everywhere. So you can find me on social media, any social media, at Randy King Live. That's Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube. I think YouTube might still be KPC Martial Arts. Just double check it. Instagram and Facebook are the best places to get a hold of me. If you want deeper content, if you like the talks, like the psychology part of this, I have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/RandyKing.
Didn't even get to talk about live. That.
Patreon is where I put my long form content. So if you know anything about social media, people's attention rate is about 2 minutes. But if people want more attention, you got to pay. So you get extra time and you can see, go deeper dives and lots of stuff. So I release videos in 3 formats. An Instagram version, a YouTube version, then a Patreon version. 1 minute, 3 minutes, and then up to 10.
You're naked
minutes.
In the Patreon, though, right?
100%
nice.
No, there is no.
That's how it makes money.
Yeah, there is no. So if you've seen pictures of my girlfriend, that's where people assume we make the money. She's not on the page, so people were disappointed.
We paid for this.
That is not what she. That's not what is it. But it's just more on this. We talk a lot about. I say soft skills because it's not the physical part, right? It's not the kicking and the punching. There's lots of really good people doing that. There's no need for me to add to that. What I need to add to is the psychological aspect, right? So if you're a BJJ guy, that's awesome. Here's how not to use BJJ and maybe not get arrested. Or if you're like me, roll over a broken beer bottle and have scars on your back because it didn't work in that situation, right? So my job is to give you all the skills you need before the fight and all the skills after the fight. You can find the fight at literally any local gym. Edmonton has a plethora of amazing skills.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to get in because I really liked the Randy King Live with Sterling.
Right, the podcast. Right?
I'm not a fighter.
Sure.
And he uses humor to diffuse that whole thing. Yeah. We got to have you back on. Sure. We only scratched the surface
awesome.
Of you.
Yeah,
and I want to talk geek stuff with you, too.
Yes.
And that was another thing we got to
totally.
Do.
This whole room, I want to talk about everything.
So when you're back from Scotland, we'll make something happen.
Sounds
but Randy,
great.
Thank you very much. I'm Alec.
Je m'appelle Ivan.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Randy. Thanks so much for listening.
Stay awesome.
That was another episode of The Awesome Hour. You can get all our info at theawesomehour.com. Don't forget to rate and review us, follow our social media, and leave a comment below. Stay awesome.